Welcome to a special edition of the Baseball America podcast with me, J.J. Cooper, and also John Manuel. As we're going to have, if you've been wondering why, you know, hey, we haven't had too many podcasts lately, which we'll be the first to admit, kind of true. Draft is an all-encompassing beast around here, especially when you combine it with college regionals and super regionals coming up and all.
But we did have three last week, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Two monster college podcasts, and then the draft day podcast week with Jim Callis and myself over the phone and live from a random room in my house.
That is true.
worked out well.
But we wanted to give you, you're going to have a cavalcade of podcasts coming over the next 2 days. This is a special Steven Strasburg edition of the podcast, which fittingly is brought to you by our podcast sponsor, MLB Network, which most of you probably saw if you're a baseball fan, I'm assuming you were watching the Strasburg debut on MLB Network last night. And it's safe to say, it's very rare you can say that there's never been a big league pitching debut probably hyped as much as that one was. And amazingly, it's like when it's all said and done, you probably could say, you know, it probably wasn't hyped enough.
Honestly, that's the defining characteristic so far of Steven Strasburg's professional career. The hype bar is set incredibly high, and he keeps surpassing it. I mean, that's really been what's defined this year, JJ. Our struggle at the top of our top 100 prospects list was Jason Hayward, Steven Strasburg. And both those guys had so much attention to them. And, you know, the 2007 draft, we just rated all the drafts in our last issue. And one thing that we really wrestled with was the 07 class or the 09 class, which is better. We flipped and flopped and hemmed and hawed. We ended up putting 07 ahead of 09. But the front of the 07 draft, as good as it is, that draft includes Jason Hayward. So that's what put it at the top of the list. But, you know, we've talked that there's been a lot of hype around Matt Wieters and David Price. And Matt Wieters has not lived up to the expectations that the way Jason Hayward has. I still think Matt Wieters is going to be a great player.
Right.
And I think right now he's a very solid to good big league catcher. But
he's not an all-star yet.
Not yet. He's mired on a bad team. I think that's the biggest thing. He needs a little help. And then David Price is very, very good. He's really a very good big league pitcher. But he doesn't necessarily stand out even from his peers in Tampa. I mean, Jeff Niemann threw another complete game shutout the other night. I think people who listen to this podcast know I love Jeff Niemann. He's almost at Houston street level for me. I mean, he's a big deal for me. So I love seeing Jeff do well. But Steven Strasburg and Jason Hayward, this class of prospects, that class of top 100 top guys, had just blown those other guys away. Jason Hayward's ridiculous, and then Steven Strasburg last night was just really as much fun as you can have watching a baseball game, JJ, unless you're a Pirates fan.
Mike Stanton went 3-for-5 last night in his big league debut, and it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, Mike Stanton, he's going to be, you know, great player for...
Mike Stanton is actually what made me end up ranking 07 ahead of 09, because Mike Stanton is that little extra push for the 2007 draft class. And one day I think we'll have a whole podcast where we do nothing but talk about Mike Stanton because his power is so jaw-dropping. But it's, to me, the thing about Strasburg, besides how funny he is to watch JJ is, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, my brother lives in D.C. He's my big brother, so I'm always going to talk about my big brother. But he's a season ticket holder, partial season ticket plan. He didn't get to go to the game last night, which I think is going to haunt him forever. But just the whole complexion of the franchise has changed. The Nationals matter in the district now, and they didn't matter before Steven Strasburg. They really were irrelevant.
It's hard to overblow anything with Strasburg right now, but the reality of it is he's already earned his bonus.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
From the standpoint of franchise value.
Absolutely. Scott Boras even made that point, sadly, already.
He will sell out every home game, every home start, for the next foreseeable future. I mean, I know that was the debut. Game two, if you didn't get into game one, everything he did means that you're going to be knocking down the door trying to get to game two. Now, the question we'll see, and I think it will happen, is this going to be a Fernando Mania kind of thing where you see home and road, it doesn't matter where he is. Like Cleveland's going to have their best crowd of the year, probably non-opening day variety, because they're not drawing a whole lot of fans.
I think the Cleveland Indians are just going to be very thankful that Steven Strasburg is going to be coming to their ballparks so people will show up.
Right, so they've already said that this looks like to be the best, you know, crowd of the season.
That's amazing. I mean, to do that in the International League is one thing, JJ, which Steven Strasburg did in the International League and in the Eastern League. People were like, let's go see this guy. But in a big league park in the American League, he's going to do that in a second start? That's amazing.
Because of the draft, it really worked out well for us in some ways. Because of the draft, everyone in the Baseball America office was still here at 7 o'clock, which is not normal on a normal weeknight. You
right.
know? And so we all kind of gathered to watch, you know, his first three innings, I guess it was.
But especially the first inning, we were all in there to see that first pitch. And I think we all thought, okay, we'll go back to our desks. We have more work to do. And then when after the Nationals hit, none of us were watching the Nats hit, basically. I think Josh Leventhal was. And then somebody else was in there and said, Strasburg's about to start pitching again. And at first, no one wanted, I think, to be conspicuous about it. And then there was basically a stampede. There was basically a stampede. I think you started the stampede. Everyone just got up from their desks and ran back to the break room to watch. And then we almost took another picture and posted it to our Twitter account, at Baseball America, because it was like a war room situation again. We were all in there and we were all intent. And it really just, it just was fun. It's just fun to watch talent, talk about talent, be realized talent. It's just, I can't get over that fact. We're all baseball fans at heart, JJ, and that was just fun to watch as a fan.
But the thing that struck me, I think I mentioned it last night, is it felt to me, I was lucky enough I got to see Pedro pitch in Fenway during the stretch of Pedro right. Red Sox, you know, one time. I got to see it. And it was that same feeling that Pedro earned his way to, like got to the point where Red Sox fans just hung on every pitch that Pedro threw.
Right.
You know, well, they were doing that for Strasburg from the moment that he stepped onto the mound. Like, every pitch had an intensity to it for the fans. I mean, it was something where when he got to two strikes, you know, people were going crazy.
Yeah, it seems like only starting pitchers generate that kind of buzz in baseball.
Because they're the only ones where
you can schedule it and that kind of thing. And you just think back, you mentioned Fernando Mania, and that's a great example. Mark Fidrich. There are a lot of pitchers through history who have been kind of a happening like that. You know, Steven Strasburg was a happening from day one, which is really amazing.
And that was the other point I wanted to make that I've been thinking about since last night. The key thing about this to me, if you're a baseball fan, is enjoy it now.
Yeah.
Let's not project, wow, what can it be? Because the thing about it is Steven Strasburg will not – I'm not saying he won't be a better pitcher. He'll not be more effective than he was in his debut. If he does that, that right there, that outing, if you put that – in any Hall of Famer's career and said this is one of his milestone outings, it does not look out of place.
Now, 14 strikeouts and no walks is insane. What has it happened, like five times since 1969
right.
for anyone?
So the thing about it is that like if you saw Dwight Gooden as a 20-year-old, if you saw Kerry Wood before the in 1998, you know, Mark Fidrich, you made a great point. You know, that Fernando was never again – that. Now, I'm not saying Strasburg may not, but the thing about it is that we at Baseball America, we're all about projection, looking down the road, you know, what's going to happen and all. With Strasburg as he is right now, enjoy every one of these starts. I mean, I'm going to try to enjoy every one of these starts, and thankfully we're in an area where we get mass in, so I'm you know, the TiVo will be set.
Most people don't. We do because of DirecTV.
Right.
That's why.
Right. So we get, you know, I will be watching every Strasburg start because enjoy it now because he may be the same, you know, as dominant 5 years from now, but he may be a better pitcher 5 years from now, but without that curveball that looks insane.
That is the Nationals deserve a little credit because that's another observation I think we made yesterday, JJ. The velocity of Steven Strasburg is what we wrote about. You know, I remember the first scouting report we had on Steven Strasburg was Ben Badler in the New England Collegiate League in 2007. He was our number one prospect in the NECBL. Ben did the NECBL that year.
The NECBL had Steven Strasburg.
Absolutely, and Ben wrote him up as the number one prospect. So, again, just a nice little notch in Ben's belt of some great calls that he's made. And then,
that would feel bad if you didn't in hindsight now, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, then coming into 2008, I think he was our preseason WAC Pitcher of the Year or Mountain West Pitcher of the Year. And, I remember in the season preview, Aaron writing about, he's moving into the rotation in the Mountain for San Diego State, and he's going to really have to be watched. He had a great summer last year in the NECBL, but let's see him go from closer as a freshman to starting. But we had unbelievable reports. So I started to put this on my Facebook page, and I guess I thought it was too cheesy. But, I mean, I just think Tony Gwynn, Rusty Filter, Mark Martinez, the guys who coached him at San Diego State, those guys should take a bow. Obviously, he was handled well there.
Oh, and Tony Gwynn had a grin on his face that looked like he was a proud daddy.
And it's just awesome. It's just tremendous because those guys – you know, college baseball took a beating over the weekend, and any TV or print, and it deserved it in some ways. and it did with the draft too, because of the way pitchers are worked. It's really impossible to stand up for college baseball. Obviously, I love college baseball. I think it takes too much of a beating because people only look at it from the big
player
league
development
sense. And you know, the championships do matter at the college level for those players. You just have to understand that. But San Diego State deserves credit for the way that Strasburg was handled. And then the Nationals deserve credit for the way they've handled him, Mike Rizzo, and his staff, the way they've had a plan, laid it out from the start, executed it. And I think Spin Williams and the pitching coaches in the national system, because his breaking ball is better now than it was in college. It was filthy in college, but it was more slurvy. It was more side to side.
Now
it has incredible depth and power in the low 80s. That pitch is a tremendous pitch for the Nationals. He didn't just come perfectly made for them. The Nationals have done some things with him to make him better, which is really commendable, remarkable, and again, we're the ones who get to benefit from their hard work.
And the thing about it is
and Strasburg's hard work.
That pitch by itself, if Steven Strasburg had that pitch and an average fastball.
Yeah, he'd be a front line, like a second or third starter.
It would be basically like, okay, say that's a 60 fastball and you go with that, because I'm sorry, that's, again, not a scout. That's an 80. That
breaking ball is as close to an 80 as you're going to get.
Right. I mean, if that's not an 80.
Because it's got the shape, the power, and the command.
Right. If that's not an 80, then, again, I'm not a scout, but that's Tom Gordon.
If that's not an 80, show me 80.
Yeah, that's Tom Gordon. That's Kerry Wood before, mm-hmm. you know, the injury.
That's better than Kerry Wood because he commands it.
But he commands it. You're right. That's, you know, that's that pitch. That by itself, and the thing about it is that you've almost with him got to watch, well, you don't want him to get too fascinated with that pitch because you still have to base it around, which he seems to clearly do, you base it around the fact that you have this 80 fastball.
That's the key to me. I won't out the scout's name, but I was talking to a guy in the fall league last year. Remember there was that report, JJ, turned out to be erroneous, that he wrenched his knee and really hurt himself in a pregame incident in the fall league. I either texted or called a scout about it, and the guy wrote back, well, I hope not, because I just got done running him up with a bunch of eights on the report. You know, so that was being done in the fall league. This is, you know, the thing is, he almost changes the scale because there's supposed to be 20 is supposed to be like the worst possible tool that can play in the big leagues. Like some guys have a 10 arm because they really don't. But it's like, well, I never imagined someone with an arm that bad could play in the big leagues.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's not 0 to 100. Because really, you just imagine that it can't be any better than this.
Right.
But he really pushes. That's why I guess scouts never like to give 80s or 80s.
Because the thing about it is, if you say that this pitch is an 80, and then you see if you give another curveball an 80, and then you see that Strasburg curveball, or you give another fastball an 80, like, well, it's 95, 96, it's got really good life, he commands it, this is an 8 fastball. Well, then what is Strasburg's fastball? Because it has great life, you know. And it's 100, and he commands it.
To me, he makes everyone have to go back in and rewrite their Aroldis Chapman scouting reports. Because Aroldis Chapman does not have an 8 fastball because he doesn't command it like Strasburg. And does it really have that kind of late explosive life? I mean, the guy's throwing 93 to 94 mile an hour two-seamers. That was ridiculous.
Oh,
and a 91 mile an hour changeup.
Oh,
God,
the changeup. The changeup is a devastating pitch, and that's his third, fourth. I mean, depending on if you want to count the fastball, two fastballs or one. It's a third or fourth best pitch.
I mean, that's the pitch that got hit for the home run by Delwin Young. So that's the thing. To me, the whole danger is he has to hone the changeup to make it a useful. But when you have an 8 fastball, and just real quick, the only reason some people are 2-8 and some are 20-80 is some teams give half grades and
some
don't.
Some give 75, some 55.
Right, so if you're into half grades, you're going to go 20-80 so you can give a 55 or a 45. But some clubs just don't believe in that, so they go 2-8. So that's the only reason. And to me, they're interchangeable. But, but to me, that's why the changeup's important for him. But when you command the fastball like that and when the breaking ball's that good, it becomes less important.
It's a show-me pitch.
You don't want to get beat with your third best pitch. I always think of Mark Wohlers and Jim Leyritz.
Well, the best way to put it is that when you have those two pitches like that, even if it's a really good pitch, which his changeup has
it's
the potential to be really good.
Yeah.
But the problem is that it has to be. If it becomes much more than a show me, you have two pitches that the Pirates never they put some wood. Some guys got some not good swings, but they had good at bats against the fastball.
Right.
I don't think I saw anyone have a good swing against the curveball.
No.
I mean, I saw a lot of knees buckling. I saw a lot of guys ducking out of the way on strikes. I mean, he saw that. And he threw, I think I heard the stat I heard was 23 of 29 curveballs for strikes, which actually was 24, because
in the first inning, he completely fooled the ump.
The ump basically gave up on the pitch, and then you're like, wow, so that was basically right down the middle, but everyone gave up on it.
Yeah, it's just exciting to see someone execute, and then to see him get better down the stretch. 31 of his last 39 pitches were for strikes. The last 7 outs were by strikeout. I mean, just
14-0, but not only 14 strikeouts, no walks, and he did it in under 100 pitches.
That's the part that for a veteran, that's the kind of thing where you'd say, well, that's Roy Halladay, you know. That's what you'd say.
Yeah.
That's Roy Halladay. That's that kind of efficiency. To have that kind of efficiency a year out of college, a year after getting beat by Virginia in regionals, and my man Bullet Bob Morey. That's amazing.
It's one of those things where it's like the big thing to me coming out of this. It's like, man, I'm going to enjoy every one of his starts because we never know how long. He may do this for 10 more years. Or he may be this kind of pitcher as he is right now for, you know, we don't know. It may be for another year. It may be, you know, at 23, so, you know, he has an arm injury or something. You never know. And that being the case, it's something where it's funny. We look over and we have Steven Strasburg covers just sitting laying around.
Yeah.
As we, you know.
And we want to thank the Strasburg family for, what do we have? Like, if you haven't already tried to win one of our Steven Strasburg autographed draft almanacs.
I think more people are going to try to win those now.
Absolutely. Those just jumped up in value a little bit. So. It's just incredible, and I completely agree with you. Just savor in the moment. Let's not get too tied up.
There's no need to put him in the Hall of Fame. There's no need to think, well, what will he do when he's 28? Because you know what? There isn't better.
That's right.
Than what he did in his debut.
It's gonna be. You know, he's gonna have tougher lineups to face, but
he may pitch Game 7 of a World Series where it's the performance of a lifetime and all that, but. You're not going to see a more dominating performance. You know, he may throw a perfect game one day. It won't be at a different level than what we saw last night.
Yeah, no, it could be. I mean, he really could be like the Koufax of this generation. I mean, it's just that. I mean, if he's going to throw pitches like that consistently and command them like that, he's a no-hitter waiting to happen. He's an event. He's a one-man event. And baseball's regular season, that's his only obstacle for me, JJ, is the grind. And going through the every day, the monotony of a major league season, much to Marty Brenneman's chagrin, I think he can learn something from Adam Dunn, who knows how to handle the grind, not get too high, not get too low, and enjoy the process, enjoy being a teammate, enjoy the clubhouse, all that stuff. That's what Adam Dunn's best at.
And by the way, that's one of the things that he, you know, from seeing it from the outside, he did a good job of.
Agree.
Yesterday, the show was going on, but he wasn't part of the show. He was doing his job. And then when it was over, you know, he had to know the shaving cream's coming. You know,
he had to know Elvis was coming.
But, you know. And the thing about it is they put the you know, they put it on his head, and he just basically continued with the interview. Like, I know this is part.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to take this off or something, because this is part of the experience, too, of my big league debut.
Yeah. We're giving a lot of other people credit. We've got to give Steven Strasburg all the credit. I mean, the guy works hard. You know, we got to know him a little bit, especially Aaron got to know him over the years, and Aaron has nothing but good things to say about Strasburg. And obviously his parents, his family did a great job with him. And he's taken all those lessons from all those coaches and from his parents, and he's distilled them. And we're the ones who get to benefit and watch how much fun it was, and just watch baseball and pitching at its best last night. I mean, just tremendous. I just can't wait for the next start, JJ. That's really where it goes. And can't wait for the next podcast.
Which will be soon.
That's right. Yeah, we'll have at least.
We'll have a draft podcast that will be posting up later today.
We should have a draft podcast and then a super regional preview podcast with myself and Aaron. Should be a lot of fun, and plenty more to come in Baseball America this week.
For John Manuel, this is JJ Cooper. Thanks for listening. Again, we'll have more, and thanks to our sponsors, MLB Network.